Say, Dan, something's got to be done about this. For 3 weeks, the Hector Q. Peabody show has gone on without Hector Q. Peabody, the star, and we've had to sit in here for him because we're his assistants. Now, the way I look at it, it's Hector's program, and he ought to be here. If we have to run the show for him all the time, we should be paid the same salary that he's receiving. After all, it's pretty nerve-wracking having to jump into a half-hour program at the last minute every week just because Hector feels like going on a vacation or because he gets sidetracked on his way to the station. What I want to hear, Dan, is your opinion on the matter because... Dan, where are you? That's funny, you were here a minute ago. Come in.
Hey, are you Chuck Shaden?
Yeah, that's right. Why?
Well, I got a message for you from Dan McGuire.
A message?
Yeah, he says to tell you that he heard Hector was in the building somewhere, and he'll be here as soon as he can find him and bring him back.
What? Oh, no, but he can't do that. The show starts in 15 seconds. He'll never get here in time. I'd better go out and find him, because if I don't get back here in time for the program, I'll have to do it alone, and I couldn't stand that. It would be too much for me to do.
Naturally, right after I heard from his secretary that he was in the building, I decided to go look for him.
And left me here to run the whole show by myself. Some partner you are.
But gee whiz, Chuck, it's not our show. It's Hector's, and he hasn't been here for 3 weeks.
Well, this makes four, but if he's not here, there's nothing we can do but take over for him. So sit down and help me with the program.
All right, but I can't help wondering where he is. I wonder if he could possibly have stage fright.
Look, do you mind if I play the first record?
Huh? Oh, no. Go right ahead. It isn't possible he got lost in the corridor somewhere and hasn't been able to find the right room.
Well, hi there, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chuck Shaden opening
the Hector Q. Peabody
Show.
If I could only have caught him before I got out of the building.
Dan, please be quiet, will you?
Yeah.
I want to introduce him. Our first record, ladies and gentlemen, will be...
I looked in every...
Dan, will you be quiet? I'm trying to introduce
the
first record.
Check the cafeteria besides.
Don't they... Gee whiz, I don't know. Can't... Oh, I give up. Joe, play a record.
I wonder if he could have got lost in the corridor.
Thinking it over, ever since your flipping around begun. Now I'll become a rover, and you can play that game as well as the one. And even though our hot romance is wilted, wilted, thanks for the favor. Oh, baby, you're a real life saver. I'm happy that you've jilted me. Thinking it over, ever since your flipping around begun. Now I'll become a rover, and you can play that game as well as one. And even though our hot romance is wilted, wilted, thanks for the favor. Oh, baby, you're a real life saver. I'm happy that you've jilted me.
Folks, does coffee keep you awake nights?
Does it make you nervous when you drink too much of it?
Well, then you haven't discovered the new Instant Fizz coffee.
Fizz Instant Coffee never gives you coffee nerves.
It never keeps you awake nights.
Here's why.
Fizz Instant Coffee is made of tiny hollow flavor buds.
That means that when fizz is processed, it is first brewed in giant percolators and then concentrated by removing the water.
After this, there are only the tiny flavor buds left.
But they are not yet hollow.
So in order to make them hollow, 5,000 employees spend 40 hours a week in the Fizz factory puncturing the flavor buds and draining them of their coffee flavor.
Then, when the flavor buds have been emptied of their flavor, they are filled with air and their punctures sealed.
Thus, when you receive Fizz instant coffee at your grocer, you take it home, put a spoonful in the cup, and add hot water. When the heat makes the hollow flavor buds burst, the air escapes and you hear them go, add cream and look what you've got.
Creamed water, and is it good.
So try a jar of Fizz Instant Coffee today.
You'll have no more coffee nerves.
And no more sleepless nights.
Fizz Instant Coffee is on sale at all leading chain and independent grocery stores.
Stop in today, and when the man asks you what you want, just say, say, Dan, look here.
Where?
No, cut that out. I'm just using a figure of speech. Listen.
Well, I'm listening. Hey, do you hear what I hear?
What's that?
Well, I can't say for sure. I couldn't be certain, but it sounds as though someone in this room is breathing.
I think you're right, Dan. I wonder. Now, cut that out, will you? I'm trying to tell you something.
All right, go ahead. I'm all ears.
Well, I was thinking, you know, this show is pretty new, and we can't afford to lose any listeners if we have any, so I thought it might be a good idea if we tried to insert a bit of comedy into the script here and there.
Comedy?
Yeah, you know, funny stuff. Jokes, humor, amusing stories, and clever dialogue. The stuff that makes people laugh.
Oh, like Martin and Costello, you mean?
Well, not quite, but you've got the idea, yeah.
Gee, Chuck, I don't think I know any jokes. Unless you want me to tell the old one about the farmer's daughter and the trap.
No, Dan, not that one. Everyone's heard that one. Anyway, you know.
Well, that's the only one I know. Hey, wait a minute. I just thought of one.
Well, good. Let's hear it.
Okay. You say to me, who was that woman I saw you with last night?
All right. Who was that woman I saw you with last night?
And then I say, that was no woman. That was my wife. What's wrong? Don't you like it?
No, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that you told it all wrong.
I did?
Sure, I've heard this joke before, and the way it's supposed to go is, you say to me, who was that woman I saw you with last night? Go ahead, say it.
All right. Who was that woman I saw you with last night?
That was no woman, that was my knife.
How about trying it this way? You're a shrimp and I'm an oyster, and you come up to me and say, who was that fish I saw you with last night? And then I say, that was no fish, that was my squid.
Wait a minute, Dan. I think I've got it. Here's the way this story goes. There's an octopus that has a little whale friend, and everywhere the octopus goes, the little whale is right there beside him. But after a while, the whale begins to get rather large, and he has to go off in search of deeper waters. So one day, the octopus is swimming around on the ocean floor when a shark comes up to him and says, say, where's your friend, the whale? Whereupon the octopus replies, how should I know? Am I my blubber's kipper?
Once upon a time, there was a traveling salesman who was driving through Wyoming on his way to a new
territory. No, Dan, you can't tell the story.
Well, somewhere along the line,
Dan,
he got a flat tire, and when he was about to open the trunk
Dan,
and get out the spear,
you're not allowed
he remembered
to tell
that was
the
no
FCC
good either.
Will hang you from the highest
well, naturally, there wasn't much he could do with
Dan,
the bad
stop
tire.
Stop it. Somebody
no
do something.
To replace
put the microphone.
It was in a real
play
fix.
A record. Do something.
Well, he was
do
beginning
anything,
to get
Dan,
a bit worried
stop
because
it
was raining at the time, and he didn't know just what to do. He didn't want to sit in the car and wait for the rain.
folks, news of the greatest contest in radio history.
Yes, folks, at last we can announce the beginning of the greatest contest of any kind in radio history, in any history.
This is it, ladies and gentlemen, the Shaden and McGuire contest.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Shaden and McGuire contest.
Here's what the Shaden and McGuire contest consists of.
Just listen to how ridiculously easy it is to win the greatest contest in radio history.
It's so ridiculously easy that it's actually idiotic.
Here's what you do. Simply write us a letter.
Just an ordinary letter written on ordinary paper.
Or if you don't have any paper handy, use some old cardboard or some used Christmas present wrapping.
You can write the letter with pencil, pen, crayon, paint, charcoal, or anything that happens to be ridiculously near at hand.
Just so you write the letter.
Now, here's what you put in the letter. Simply say, when I listen to the Hector Q. Peabody Show, I think Chuck is funnier than Dan because...
Or you can say, when I listen to the Hector Q. Peabody Show, I think Dan is funnier than Chuck because...
That's right. You can take your choice of whom you think is funnier. But after you have written, when I listen to the Hector Q. Peabody Show, I think Chuck is funnier than Dan...
Or when I listen to the Hector Q. Peabody Show, I think that Dan is funnier than Chuck...
You must finish a sentence in 50 words or less.
You may use any word you choose, just as long as you finish the sentence.
Please do not send in any incomplete sentences, because our judge is a retired English teacher, and incomplete sentences drive him crazy.
It's as simple as that, folks. Simply decide who you think is funnier, Chuck
or Dan,
and then tell why in 50 words.
That's it. That's all you do. There are no coupons to enclose, no box top to tear off, no money to send.
No restrictions whatsoever.
And listen to the prizes you get if you're the first place winner in this greatest contest in radio history.
First place winner gets Dan McGuire.
Or Chuck Shaden.
Depending upon whom you pick as the funniest person on the Hector Q. Peabody Show.
And if you should happen to decide that you don't want Chuck Shaden.
Which is altogether possible.
Or Dan McGuire.
Which is completely unimaginable.
We will send you Chuck Shaden's wife.
Or Dan McGuire's wife.
Depending upon whether you pick Chuck Shaden.
Or Dan McGuire.
As the funniest person on the Hector Q. Peabody Show.
And if you decide that you don't want Dan McGuire's wife...
Or Chuck Shaden's wife...
We will send you in their place our program engineer, our turntable engineer, our program director...
And our janitor.
Depending upon whom you pick as the funniest person on the Hector Q. Peabody Show. Dan McGuire, Chuck Shaden...
Or our janitor.
Now, if you should decide that you don't want either our program engineer, our turntable engineer, or our program director...
Or our janitor...
You may as well not enter the contest, because after all, what more could we offer?
But if you would like to win some of these tremendous prizes, don't delay. Get your letter in the mail right away.
Because the Shaden and McGuire contest ends tomorrow.
Mail all entries to Shaden and McGuire in care of this station.
Mail as many entries as you want, but remember to put each entry into an envelope.
And the stamp on each envelope.
And no incomplete sentences, please.
Decision of our judge will be final, and in case of ties, Chuck Shaden or Dan McGuire will be cut into little pieces and divided among the winners.
Mail your entry tonight, and who knows, you may be the lucky winner of Dan McGuire.
Or Chuck Shaden.
Depending upon whom you choose as the funniest person on the Hector Q. Peabody Show.
Chuck
or Dan.
Rock-a-bye your baby with a 16 melody. From the hearts of Dixie, just hang my cradle, Mammy mine, right on that Mason-Dix line. Tennessee with all the love that's in ya. With no more, my lady, sing that song again for me. And old Black Joe, just as low. And baby kisses I'll deliver. The minute that you sing the 20 River, rock by your baby with a Dixie.
Today we are proud to have with us, ladies and gentlemen, a man whom you've probably all heard of, a man whose behind-the-scenes work in Hollywood has done wonders for the nation's film capital. His name is Horace P. Morris. Mr. Morris, hello.
Hello there, Chuck.
Mr. Morris, would you like to tell our audience in what capacity you have been such an aid to Hollywood?
Certainly. You see, Chuck, I've been a talent scout for the Dynamic Pictures for 33 years.
A talent scout? I suppose in 33 years you've discovered some pretty big name stars.
Oh, yes, I have. I was the one who discovered that great actor, Gregory Cornball.
Gregory Cornball? Did you really discover him?
I most certainly did, Chuck.
Well, Cornball is one of the biggest box office favorites of our time and has been for 20 years. He's really a has-been. How did you happen to discover him?
Well, it happened this way. I was having lunch at the Black Sombrero one afternoon, and as I glanced across the room, I noticed this young fella, about 6'2", with wavy black hair and big blue eyes, eating a lunch of fish and chips.
And that was Gregory Cornball?
No, Gregory was sitting across from the other fella, eating spaghetti.
Oh, I see.
Well, in my business, you sort of trade your eye to spot people with potentialities, so naturally, I had only to see the exquisite manner in which Gregory handled his spaghetti to know that this was a fellow who would go far in the movie industry.
And I suppose you walked right up to him and signed him up for a 5-year contract.
No, I didn't, Chuck. You see, just as I was about to get up, another scout from Titanic film stopped at Gregory's table and began talking to him, but before I could do anything about it, he had signed Gregory for a life term with Titanic. But nevertheless, I was the one who discovered him.
Golly, that was really unfortunate. But I'll bet you've discovered some other really great stars in your time.
Oh, I have. You remember Houdini?
Harry Houdini, the great magician? Did you discover him?
No, I referred to Casimir Houdini. Casimir was one of the greatest performers of all time. He could hang by his big toe from a trapeze 500 feet above the ground, open a bottle of beer with his teeth and drink it, while with his free foot he strummed a guitar strapped to his leg and juggled 13 live pandas with his hands.
Say, that really sounds terrific. I'm surprised I've never seen him in the movies.
Well, you see, Chuck, an act like that isn't much good for the movies because it would get monotonous in an hour and a half film. So Casimir never got into any of the Dynamic Pictures, but I discovered him.
I see. Well, you probably had a lot of interesting experiences as a talent scout, and I'm sorry we can't stop to hear you tell us about all of them. But our time is running short, so thanks for coming, Horace. And
say,
and
Chuck, have you ever been given a screen test? You know, you look to me like a fellow with a lot of talent. Now, if you're interested, I may be able to fix you up with a bit part in Dynamic Next Picture.
Well, gee, thanks, Horace, but I'm afraid right now I'm all tied up with my radio affiliations. Maybe some other time, though.
Okay, but in case you change your mind, here's my card. Call me anytime.
Well, all right, anytime. That was Anytime P. Morris, ladies and gentlemen, talent scout for Dynamic Pictures. Let's give him a big hand.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now to Madison Round Garden in New York for an exclusive broadcast of the bout between Bud Abbott and Guy Kibbe for the heavyweight championship of the world. And here to describe it for you is Bert Ellsworth.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're here at Madison Round Garden, ready to give you a punch-by-punch description of what promises to be the fight of the year, the fight of the century. Both fighters are in top condition and both have good offenses and defenses. They've been eating Wheaties for weeks. Aha, the fighters are both in the ring now. Abbott, the challenger, is wearing purple trunks with yellow polka dots, and Kibbe, the present holder of the title, is adorned with green and white slash trunks. Their trainers are giving them last-minute instructions now, and the bell will probably ring any second. Well, there's the bell for the first round. The fighters are coming out of their corners and circling each other looking for an opening. Now Abbott fends with the left, and Kibbe's down. Yes, the champ is down. Abbott hurries to a neutral corner. The referee is counting 8, 9, 10. He's out. Kibbe's out. The fight is finally over.
Well, that just about closes the fourth broadcast of the Hector Q. Peabody Show. This is Dan McGuire.
And this is Chuck Shaden, hoping that Hector Q. Peabody will show up again next week. Listen, do you think we ought to give a reward or something for his return, Dan?
I think it might help. Probably not much, but somebody might spot him.
Well, we're prepared to offer a reward of 100 Coke bottle tops for Hector Q. Peabody. So if anybody has any access to the whereabouts of Mr. Peabody, please contact us, right?
In care of this station.
Okay. This is Chuck Shaden.
And Dan McGuire.
Let's give the credit. Joe Abrascotta was holding the controls down in the program today. Choreography by Helen Hayes.
And sound by Marconi.
Cinemascope photography by Thomas A. Edison. This is Chuck Shaden.
And Dan McGuire.
Reminding you that this has been a CLS production.